We're pleased to be joined on the line right now by Peace River MLA Dan Williams, who joins us here. I guess, first of all, sir, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today.
Very happy to be here, Tom.
Well, of course, we are coming up on sort of the end of the year here. Now, when it comes to you, when you look back on kind of the, sort of the year of 2021, what do you think is the biggest thing that sort of sticks out to you for how this year went here in Alberta and in particular in our region here?
Oh, gosh, it's been a heck of a year. It's been a heck of 2 years for Northern Albertans. But I'll tell you what. I think that the image that a lot of Albertans have of themselves as, you know, hard individuals who are frontier, pioneering, tough, and enterprising, I think that really is just what Northern Alberta is. Most Southern Albertans' image of themselves is based on who we are in the North. And I think that says to me a lot about the last year. I mean, we've been through floods and fires over the last couple of years. COVID has just been so difficult for so many families. So we are folks that are going to persevere. And I'd say that in the midst of that, we're coming out in a very good spot now. I think as we leave this year, we can look back and say we've been through hardships, but we're starting to see an economy that's taking off. We see that labor shortages is becoming, you know, one of our biggest problems, which is a good problem to have. It means our economy is humming right now. And I think part of that is due to the Alberta Recovery Plan, which has, I think, four different schools across our constituency being built in this next year, and the recovery plan is part of that. So we have, you know, Peace River, Manning, Fort Vermilion, Blue Hills. We have the Delaware Lodge Project, which is going to start breaking ground this upcoming construction season. Of course, we have the Lacrete Maternity Center, which is going to hopefully be breaking ground as soon as we can get through the design phase. We saw Fort Vermilion after the flood with a huge amount of resources to take care of a lot of folks that are moving locations out of the floodplain. That was a huge amount of investment. We see the massive $40 million renovation of the old Peace River Bridge. Once we finished the new one, we went straight into dumping two construction seasons, $40 million back into the economy of fixing up the old bridge as well. We've had over 20 ministers to the constituency. I don't remember when we've had that many ministers in 1 year in our constituency, and they didn't just fly in, fly out of a community. We had everywhere from Peace River all the way up to Jean d'Or in the far corner with Little Red. So it has been at Rainbow as well, received ministers. So it's been a real province-wide, constituency-wide effort to engage. And it's been a tough year, and it's split us in different ways as a province, even within communities. But I'm obviously very optimistic about the future to come. I think there's no keeping us back.
Of course, a little earlier this year, you yourself added some little extra responsibilities. You have got a new parliamentary secretary role. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going to be part of that for you?
Yeah, I'm working under Minister Orr in the Ministry of Culture, and I'm going to be helping him on a number of files, but probably most interestingly, it's going to be the Francophone file, which is important because the Peace River area, Région-la-Paix, is an area of the province that has been historically Francophone for generations. It is one of the most historically Francophone. We have a huge percentage of the population. I think it's somewhere near 20% of the entire Francophone population in the province is in or originally from Peace Country. So we have a huge investment in our history and our culture up here. The Franco-Albertans I know are very proud rural Albertans. They're incredibly proud to work in oil and gas, to work in the forestry industry, to work in the agriculture industry, to be running these businesses and these farms and these mills for multiple generations. I think it's wonderful. I think it's good to have a representative from rural Alberta, from northern Alberta, who's Francophone, not by birth. I wasn't born speaking French, right? I learned it as a second language here in the emerging program in Alberta. And I think it's wonderful to have someone from the region representing the Francophone speakers to our government, who I think are terrific constituents of mine.
Some of the news we've also seen kind of around you recently is that you made some comments in the legislature recently when it came to vaccinations of healthcare workers, that the folks over on the other side of the NDP, in particular the health critic David Shepherd, seemed to take a little umbrage with. Why don't you kind of, I guess, kind of sort of respond to him in a way with what you want to sort of add to that topic there?
Yeah, I understand you guys had David Shepherd on, the health critic from the NDP. I'm sure he called in from Edmonton, which is fine. I welcome him to that, and I appreciate him coming to try and chat with my constituents, but I was absolutely appalled at the allegations he tried to make, and I think it was embarrassing for him. The truth is that if AHS leadership, and I want to be absolutely clear about this, AHS leadership is a small group of folks in an ivory tower making decisions out of big cities for communities like us. I have absolutely every respect, and I want to thank every single frontline healthcare worker in my constituency, vaccinated or not, I could care less right now. If you, in some way, supported Albertans and cared for them in healthcare, in my constituency, as a healthcare worker, as an administrator for AHS, I want to thank all of you because I truly appreciate that. My family members and all of my constituents appreciate the work you have done. But the plan that AHS had would have closed access to healthcare to our most remote communities. I invite David Shepherd to come up. I will pay for the gas round trip from his downtown Edmonton condo to Manny and back. And I want him to explain to the 65-year-old retirees in Manny why they needed to lose their doctor, whereas David Shepherd has got probably a couple thousand within a stone's throw of his house. Why he's got at least five hospitals within an hour drive of him, if not more than that. I want him to explain to them why he deserves health care and his constituents deserve it, but my constituents don't. I'm outraged that he can come and play wedge politics and somehow try and play politics with access to health care. I don't care whether you're to the left or the right or whatever. We should be at least be making sure that our doctors and our nurses in communities that are most remote stay there. Now, we have done a whole bunch to try and incentivize our physicians in rural Alberta. We got rid of any limit on the Rural Remote Northern Program so that over about 800 different physicians across the province who can access it, including every physician who works in my constituency can, $800,000 amongst them. That is an important incentive, and it's important that we work to make sure that physicians and all healthcare workers feel respected and thanked and compensated for the work they do caring for us. I respect all of them, but I think it's absolutely embarrassing that the NDP from the Edmonton riding of Edmonton Centre thinks that folks in Lacrete don't deserve health care. Folks in Manning don't deserve access to their physician and their health care. I think it's quite gross, and I think he ought to apologize, but I welcome him to come up to Manning and to meet with people. I will set up the meetings, and he can explain to them why they don't deserve a doctor.
And getting on to sort of that sort of access to healthcare point there, as you mentioned a little earlier, obviously there's the new birthing center in Lacrete that's coming in the works. I know Dale Air Lodge in Manning is supposed to start construction, I believe, in the next year. So what do you kind of all see sort of for the region here, kind of going into 2022?
Well, I see actually under this government a lot of investment in healthcare. Like we mentioned before, the Del Air Lodge, I think, is an $8.2 million upgrade, adding, it's dozens of beds and access to that community. Obviously, we're working through the planning phase, working with the local housing authority, working with the local town council and the surrounding county as well to try and as best we can serve those communities. Obviously, we've added even more beds in high level as well, which is really important. Mackenzie House, the work that we've done there, continuing to do upgrades to that facility. The Lacrete Maternal Health Care Center is going to be incredibly important. These are millions upon millions of dollars in all of our communities. I mean, there was the $5 million investment in Peace River that we made an announcement with the Minister of Health this summer for the hospital for implement. It was an incredibly important investment for the safety of patients that come in, to make sure that when they are under the knife or in some way interacting with the hospital, that we make sure they have the highest level of hygiene standards, something the NDP failed to do in their four-year term, invest in something that we actually needed in our Peace River Hospital. So I see actually access to healthcare being a priority for me going forward. I'm going to continue to fight for it, and I do not care what the NDP and the folks down in big city centers who have no idea what it is to live in rural communities, I don't care what they say. I don't care if they try and guilt me out of it. I don't care who is helping us with healthcare. I will make an ally with you if you want to make healthcare better in my constituency.
And finally, whenever we have a guest join us here, we always like to throw in a little personal question or two as a way to show, hey, you know what, these politicians are people too. Now, when it comes to you, Dan, of course, we are coming up on kind of the holiday season here. You know, a lot of people have their different, I guess, traditions for this time of year. What about in your household? What's kind of going to be some of the things that you're going to be up to?
Well, as you guys know, I'm a big movie buff, and we alternate every year between my wife and I in terms of what Christmas movie we're going to watch. So last year was her choice. I think it was that Jimmy Stewart film, It's a Wonderful Life, a classic, of course. I'm trying to convince her that this year it's going to be Die Hard, my favorite Christmas movie. Die Hard 2, actually, my favorite. I'm not sure if she's going to go for it. But then after that, also on Christmas Eve, we'll be going to church as a family, which is something nice to sort of stop doing politics and remember the reason for the Christmas season, for me, is putting that first. So those are my traditions, I'm excited for everyone in my constituency to sort of take a break, head to their church or spend time with their family, and do their best to try and sort of, you know, unwind a bit and take advantage of the wonderful Christmas season in Peace Country.
Well, certainly we'll let you get on that list for the holidays. Peace River MLA Dan Williams, thanks for joining us here today.
All right, thank you, Tal. Talk to you soon.